Cougar football victorious. A double-digit underdog at SMU, and they win thanks to a strong defensive performance. Head coach Kalani Sitake and quarterback Jake Retzlaff on what needs to improve as the Cougars move forward.
ESPN's Trevor Maddux joins us, and boy, did he like the defensive performance on Friday. Who didn't? And Ryan Rico sets an NFL record in his first game as a pro. Punters are people too, Spence.
Indeed they are, especially when they play for my Cincinnati Bengals. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Monday, September 9th. BYU is 2-0. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who loves a good fireworks show, no matter where it is, Jerem Jordan.
So who was it that did it in week 0 or 1? Somebody else set off fireworks after a loss? SMU, fireworks start going off after the game, and it's like, it was Minnesota. You're setting off fireworks no matter what? Just, okay.
They announced it before the game. There will be a fireworks show.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Once the game concludes.
It is weird when you lose, though. Like, woo, we lost.
At least wait a little bit.
Like, LaBelle Edwards Stadium.
Not while BYU is celebrating.
LaBelle Edwards Stadium. Please don't shoot off fireworks if BYU loses. Honestly, it's a weird look. But shout out to Cougar Nation, who showed up in the DF dub.
Amazing.
Great crowd. What was it like there? Because I had two of my best friends from middle and high school were there that live in Dallas. They were awesome. It was a great showing. Like, look at this. Who goes on the road and has this kind of crowd?
On a Friday night, no less.
Yep.
At least 10,000 BYU fans in that stadium.
Fantastic.
And there were more BYU fans in that stadium until early in the second quarter. And then it evened out. It filled out. Then some red finally showed up. But it was BYU outnumbering SMU fans literally until early in the second quarter, which is crazy.
It's awesome.
That's a Power Four team.
Yep.
It was SMU's first Power Four home game. And so we wondered, maybe this will be enough to get their crowd to show up.
No.
BYU fans bought up those
And maybe
tickets.
It was a Friday. But shout out to my boy, if we could pull out just a little bit. You know, punches are people too. Yep. I got my Rico shirt jersey. Let's go.
Listen, the Ricos
boy,
had
let's
a
go.
Good weekend.
Reppin'.
Landon Rico had some
Landon
nice punts
Rico
in the game against SMU.
The whole family doing stuff. So, hey, great weekend. Another non-conference Power Four road win where BYU showed up. So, let's go.
That's
man.
A great T-shirt. And Ryan Rico, if 80 yards weren't important or impressive enough, if that ball angles out at the half-yard line.
It was this close, dude.
That's maybe the greatest punt in NFL history.
79 yards out at the one. Like, that would have been amazing. That was great.
Oh, good as it stands. All rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
And I said, don't be surprised as a defensive showdown.
And throws intercepted by the Cougars at the far boundary.
Pushing on the pedal. I feel like we lose all gas, no brakes this whole game.
To the end zone. Touchdown.
And that will send the Cougars to 2-0, and we're off to Laramie.
All gas, no brakes, on the way to Laramie. You bet. BYU goes into Dallas and wins another close game against SMU, 18-15. Apparently, whenever BYU plays SMU, it needs to be close.
We'll show you the history there. It's pretty wild.
Good grief. Well, after the victory on Friday night, head coach Kalani Sitake understandably was jazzed, and certainly about the defensive performance. He gave us a quick synopsis of his team's performance.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, I'm really proud of the way the whole team played and the belief that they had in each other. Obviously, the attention is going to go to the defense, but we needed that drive. We need that fourth down conversion from the offense and special teams. I mean, that's how we end up getting the winning score. But, you know, we have some work to do. We know that, but it's nice that we can keep trusting on each other and we can win different ways.
Indeed, BYU is showing that they can win in different ways.
I don't think anybody
anticipated SMU not scoring a touchdown at all in their home opener or their Power Four home opener against BYU, but that's what it was. 5 field goals is what BYU limited SMU to.
Fantastic.
But then again, BYU only scored 18 points. My question for you, Jerem, is which evoked a stronger reaction from Friday's win over SMU, the defensive or offensive performance by BYU?
It was the defense because they were fantastic. Obviously, there are issues on offense. We'll talk about it in a second. But 15 points allowed, no touchdowns, 261 total yards, fewest versus a Power Four team since 2016 against Michigan State. 5 SMU drives to reach the red zone, only 6 points. He had 2 takeaways in the red zone, 1 on special teams as well, 3 sacks, 8 TFLs. This defensive performance was dynamite, Spencer. They carried BYU here.
Without
they didn't
question.
Let Preston Stone or Kevin Jennings get loose, and they were in the backfield.
Where was R.J. Maryland?
R.J. Maryland had one catch for 2 yards, I think.
Yep.
Like, are you kidding me? This was one of the best defensive performances we've seen from BYU in a long time, and I'm hoping that that's the calling card for this team, because if it takes a sec for the offense to figure it out, we'll talk about that in a second. The defense can carry you to wins. You should win at Wyoming. Can you compete with and beat Kansas State, which we will find out today, the kick time and TV for that, by the way. I'm excited for what that is. We'll figure that out and give it to you as soon as we have it.
Yes.
But the defense was great. They won the game for BYU. They were awesome.
It should be on the defense. The emphasis should be on the defense because BYU won the game. And I encountered a number of fans who were like, yeah, but what about the offense? I'm like, BYU won the game. Did you see what the defense did? I'm not saying that the offense was good. I mean, it was anything but good, especially in the middle part of the game. However, sometimes you need one side of the ball to carry the other.
Sure.
And certainly, Friday night, that was the case with the defense. You mentioned the 261 yards allowed, but it was BYU's defense inside the red zone when the offense had turned the ball over in less than favorable ways. Like, some of those turnovers were what we thought were going to be terminal turnovers.
Yes. Braden Kime, you pointed out on our call this morning, Braden Kime makes a tackle.
At the 3-yard line.
And then there's a turnover. Was it the Jacob Robinson fumble recovery on
yes.
that one?
Yes. So they get to the 3-yard line, then SMU has a holding, puts them back to the 13-yard line, and then the next player, two plays after that, the ball gets punched out by
Jacob
Robinson.
Which was incredible, by the way. On TV, it was like, oh, my gosh, how does his knee not go down? It was a miracle.
But just the effort by, even when BYU's offense turned it over, to keep those guys out of the end zone, and then the defense stepping up.
Fantastic.
Amazing. The emphasis should be on the defense.
Jay Hill, 8 days after a heart attack, is in the booth calling this game, perhaps his finest performance thus far as the defense coordinator at BYU. It is a miracle that he is involved, let alone amazingly in the booth calling this game. So that's awesome. So congrats. Jack Kelly, by the way, spying the quarterback. Mark Collins had a TFL, a PBU, almost two picks. That pick in the red zone, he was fantastic. He's coming off a knee injury. He's back in it and playing really well. So the BYU defense, Blake Mangelson, in the first half especially, was incredible. Harrison Taggart was all over the field. I was really impressed by this BYU defense. Isaiah Glasker in the backfield on that TFL. Like, by the way, they're playing a ton of safeties, a ton of D-linemen, but there's a lot of quality depth for BYU that's keeping them fresh and alive in there. It's fun to watch this defense right now.
I believe BYU is one of two Power 4 teams to not allow a touchdown over the weekend.
In college football, the first
in college
couple. Georgia is the other.
That's amazing.
Georgia's the other.
That is amazing. Think about this.
To have a no-touchdown single game is what we're talking about.
Yes, and against a Power 4 team, no less.
Who
on
put
the
up
road.
52 a game at home during this 9-game win streak.
Snapped their 9-game win streak. BYU was a 12-point underdog when the game kicked off, by the way.
Went up to that.
How many
Trailed
times?
At halftime.
How many times, and maybe I need Cougar stats and BYU stats man to chime in on this, because I'm just thinking about this right now. I want to look at the stat.
Yeah.
When was the last time BYU didn't allow a touchdown to a Power 4 opponent? On the road, no less.
To a Power 4 team on the road. That's a pretty good one.
Has BYU ever done that before? Has BYU ever not allowed a touchdown to a Power 4 opponent? And if so, maybe they did it at home, but on the road, I think this might be a first.
That's pretty good.
For BYU. Incredible. Yeah,
UCLA comes to mind, 08, was it 08? But that's at home, right? But, like, it's rare. Okay, let's talk about the offense. The defense, we've given them their flowers. They were fantastic. Jake Retzlaff, you spoke with him after the game. How did he describe this performance?
Gutty's a good word. Ugly's another word for us offensively. Tough fought battle bar defense. They showed their true colors tonight. They're just a tough defense, and offensively, we got the job done when we needed to. But like you said, gritty, ugly, grumpy victory.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree with all the words he used there. Let's look at what BYU did by the numbers. 18 points, 6 times scoring less than 20 in a game since the start of 2023. Obviously, there were struggles.
I think that's only the second time in the Satake era when BYU scored under 20, and they've won, including his opener against Arizona.
It's the first against an FBS team, right, where you get that win. So that's important that you can scratch that out. 336 total yards, 7 3 and outs, 0 points scored off those three turnovers. Had from the defense, you had three giveaways. Sometimes say turnover, it's confusing. Are you talking about giveaway, takeaway? It was both. It was even margin. So, yes, there were struggles. BYU's inability to run the ball hurts BYU 3.3 yards per carry. Doesn't help that L.J. Martin gets hurt in the first. Hinkley Ropati gets hurt as well.
Different team when BYU lost L.J. Martin.
They can run everything with L.J. Hinkley, I'm surprised we haven't seen a screen with Hinkley quite yet, but he gets hurt too. Miles, it's not Miles Davis or Pokai Honga that comes in. It's Enoch Nawahine. Enoch saves another city. Provo this time. And he gets a touchdown. He has a nice 7-yard carry early. He gets the direct snap, handoff to Jake Retzloff. Fake reverse. Tight end delay to Mata'ava Taase for that great 27-yard play. In the second half, one of the adjustments BYU made was that Jake Retzloff was more active in the run game. More keepers for him. That helped. So now BYU could at least run the ball a little bit. Yes, they need to score more points. Yes, they need to not give it away so much. Yes, they need to be able to run the ball. But I am proud of this team for having timely plays to help win the game when they were struggling. Fourth and one at midfield, you run a speed option to the boundary to the left. You block the defensive end, by the way, so it's a backer that's the decision man. He comes up to Jake. Great pitch to Miles Davis, 37 yards in field goal position with the 1:58 to make the game winner. That was a great play on offense. They did not play well in this game, but they played well enough in certain moments to win this game, and that's what I'm excited about. Now you have Wyoming, who lost to Idaho. You should crush Wyoming coming up this week. And then you have Kansas State, and now we start to see, is this offense not the team from last year? Because that performance was shades of last year, Spence. But I believe that SMU had a pretty good defense and that you just want to get a win in there, and then you move on.
BYU going 3-0 in non-conference now feels like it's going to happen.
If it doesn't, it'll be completely shocking because you got to beat a team that loses to Idaho and only puts up 7 points late against Arizona State.
There were a couple of adjustments made in the fourth quarter after Jake Retzloff had turned the ball over in less than ideal positions, deep in his own territory. Aaron Roderick opted to let Jake run the ball. Like, just straight up, you run it, and let's make the defense adjust to have to be aware of what you're going to do with your legs. And so after, I want to say it was three different run plays by Jake, then some things started to open up. And then you saw the jet sweep fake on that fourth and one call where Miles Davis finally gets loose down the sideline. SMU, they've been setting that up for a while. SMU bites hard on the fake to Keelan Marion on the jet sweep motion. And then the quick pitch. And it was the same play, by the way, before and after the timeout, I asked post-game. Did the play change when you guys called timeout on fourth one? And Jake said, nope, we went out. We ran the same play. But they had been setting it up.
That they had called, you said, pre-timeout?
Yes. Okay. So that did not change at all. That was a really, really gutsy play call. And yep. I thought a great one. But it was set up. And Aaron Roderick, he has this ability to do that with a few plays.
Yes. Like,
he gets defenses to bite super hard on some things because of things that he has schemed all game long. It certainly was one of them. So credit to him in that moment to go to that play call and to put the ball in Jake's hand running it because it opened the offense back up a little bit in the fourth quarter. You said it best. They did enough. They figured out enough.
It wasn't good, but it was enough. Yeah.
They made some critical plays at critical junctures. Not a good offensive performance by any means.
In fact, it's they can do way better. They really can.
And they all said it after the game. The players,
yeah,
they know.
They need to get more playmakers the ball, by the way. Keanu Hill needs more targets to me. 2-point conversion was huge, by the way.
So does Chase Roberts.
Chase Roberts, Darius Lassiter. Like, obviously, these guys need to get the ball. But I'm happy that BYU's 2-0. They get a win like Arkansas last year on the road, tough team. Probably not supposed to win that game. You gut it out. You make plays at the end. You win it, which is great. A couple of notes that we should talk about and we've alluded to. First win with 3-plus giveaway since 2019 Utah State. First FBS win for Kalani with fewer than 20 points since Arizona.
Yep, said that earlier.
In 2016. Only P4 team to hold their opponent without a touchdown this week. And only BYU and Georgia are the P4 teams that have held a team out of the end zone in a game this year. Now Kalani Sitake has 5 wins versus Power Conference teams when trailing at half. Lavelle Edwards had 4. What? Kalani has more volume than Lavelle.
Yeah, he's played a lot more
powerful
competition.
But any time you pass Lavelle in anything is incredible. So Nice job. And also, against SMU, 5-0, four of the five games decided by 3 points or less. Play SMU more. They're coming to Provo in 27.
They're in 27, so just go ahead and chalk that up as a three-point game, regardless of how the teams are playing, when it's played. Like, it's going to be a close game. All right, we have just learned, as of 12:15 p.m. Eastern, 10:15 a.m. Mountain Time, the TV and kick announcement information for Kansas State at BYU on Saturday, September 21st. And the answer is a 10:30 Eastern kick.
Night Cougs are back.
On ESPN.
Night Cougs are back.
Late window, 8:30 Mountain Time kick.
You thought 8:15 was tough.
8:30,
which is probably 8:35, let's be honest.
All right, Kansas State at BYU. Yes, Cougs hunt at night.
But on ESPN.
Nostris Nocturnus.
Yes.
On the night.
On the mothership.
On ESPN.
By the way, Kansas State playing Arizona on Friday night, non-conference game. Oh, juicy. We're all going to be watching that. Kansas State survived at Tulane, by the way.
Tulane's a good
survived.
Team.
Survived.
Tulane was picked to win the AAC. They're a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kansas State figured it out. Woo! Here we go. Late window for BYU. It'll be two night games in a row for BYU. Their late-er kick at Wyoming and then
seven,
a very late kick against Kansas State.
Yep. Okay. A couple quick hitters. Is Ryan Rico the best BYU Cougar in the NFL right now?
Are we basing what BYU Cougars in the NFL right now based on 1 week, or are we looking at body of work?
Fred Warner hasn't played yet, so.
Okay, so as far as it goes this season.
As far as it is translated correctly.
He has the most shocking and surprising performance.
Yeah.
He set an NFL record. The
hey!
Superlatives by BYU players in the NFL continues. Ryan Rico is just the next in line to do, like, the greatest or the best or the record.
He's the backup, by the way.
It's nuts!
Like, he is there because there's an injury, and he was awesome. So he has an 80-yard punt. He goes 20 to end zone, and it almost went out of the 1 yard line.
If it would have gone out in front of the pylon,
are you serious?
It would have been the greatest punt in NFL history. An 80-yarder out at the half-yard line. It almost was.
It would have been 79 at that point, but yes. No, I mean, Ryan's performance was the best. Kingsley Suamatia had a really notable performance Thursday night for the Chiefs.
Yep.
Again, Fred Warner is going to play tonight against the Jets.
Jamal Williams got in the end zone for New Orleans, who looked awesome.
Taysom almost had a receiving touchdown. It was kind of broken up at the last second, but another nice week for the boys.
Yes. Just got to get the injured Cougs healthy. Puka Nacua had to leave the game
don't
early.
Like that. Yep.
And
like
Kyle Van Noy last Thursday has the orbital bone fracture.
Yeah.
So got to get those guys healthy. But, man, can't wait to watch Fred Warner do his thing.
Over under 4.5 plays for Aaron Rodgers tonight.
I'm going to go over.
You going over?
I'm going over.
I'll go under. just kidding.
Holy cow. Speaking of Puka Nacua, how concerned are you about his injury that forced him out of the game early last night?
Concerned. Don't like that. He had a knee injury in fall camp. Not sure if it was the same knee or not. But, yeah, that's tough. Hope that Puka gets back soon because he's such a weapon for
the
Rams. They could have used him.
And he was dealing with that knee injury through much of training camp.
Yeah.
So in the preseason. So I just – you hate to see it get re-aggravated that way because he's such a dynamic player. So wishing Puka the best for sure.
BYU picks up 2 points in the AP poll, which means someone either thought they were 24th or 2 for 25. Where will they be ranked after the Wyoming game? That's the question.
Jerem, they're ranked 41st right now. They're ranked 41st.
It's been a while, but this is one of my pet peeves. It's a top 25 poll. Like when someone like flexes it out and go, oh, they're 41st. No, they're not. They're not 41st.
They're 16 out. Of the top 25.
Yes, they're that. They're not going to be ranked. If BYU beats Kansas State, I think they sneak into the top 25 at 4-0, and you just get a big win.
Did you honestly think BYU would be receiving votes 2 weeks into the season?
No, I don't know why one or two people gave BYU a top 25 vote. BYU's not a top 25 team right now. They're not. Like, if BYU beats Wyoming and Kansas State, now I could see where BYU could merit being 24th to 25th. Kansas State's up to 14, by the way. And if they beat Arizona, they might be 12th or 10th.
If BYU, let's say BYU destroys Wyoming.
They
the
better.
Offense wakes up, defense maintains its amazing
50
level.
50-7.
And BYU wins by 40-plus points on the road at Wyoming.
Give it to me.
Then don't be surprised to see BYU just outside the top 25.
Fine.
Like maybe 3 or 4 spots out.
They need an offense. They need some style points.
But it would take significant style points to get that. If they beat Wyoming by 20 and it's kind of ugly and the offense struggles again, then they're probably going to be in the same position they are this week.
But clearly those two people were just like, oh, they're 2-0. They beat SMU.
Our question of the day. What is the most impressive part of BYU's road Friday night win at SMU? At Ames Flames chimes in. She says, the defense, by a mile. Yeah. They were phenomenal. Not to mention Tyler Batty played a full quarter with only one ear.
So what happened to his ear?
Hashtag BYUSN.
It was all bloody and kind of like, what happened?
I think he got tangled up with some opponent and they got his hand in there and scratched it.
Or did his helmet get twisted or something?
Yeah, like, we need to get the specifics there.
Okay.
Okay. However, Tyler Batty, speaking of, the hit on Kevin Jennings.
Oh, my gosh.
Was clearly the hit of the game.
Violent police report. That was violent.
That was like Kurt Gavea versus Hawaii style.
Yeah. That was like, oh, whoa. Yeah, that was awesome.
And it was clean, for the record.
Yeah, shoulder.
All shoulder.
All shoulder, dude.
As a man.
Them pacing boys,
the massive man moving quickly.
Onion days. Let's go.
Hashtag BYU was on an X, Facebook, and Instagram.
Hey, always a lot to discuss either way, right? But a lot of positive to discuss on Coordinator's Corner coming up at 2 Eastern time on the BYU TV app with Greg Rebell. Can't wait for that. Always very insightful. I love watching the show.
Still on the way. You know what time it is. It's Maddich Monday.
Hey.
Trevor Maddich fired up about that BYU defense. And what does he think the Cougars need to do on offense to get things going in the right direction? This is BYU Sports Nation.
I'm just really proud of the team, the way the guys stuck with it.
That's just our team, I feel like, that everybody stepped up and played at a different level.
I mean, it was a tough game. It came down to overall team win. Happy to be 2-0 right now, and I'm excited about the next week.
Kalani said it best, happy to be 2-0. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. You know who else was impressed with BYU's defensive performance specifically? ESPN's Trevor Maddich. And to bring him in on a Maddich Monday, we should reference a tweet that I'm sure he did not put out lightly. And I quote from at T Maddich on X, who said, awesome closing stand by BYU's defense, attacking, pressuring, smothering QB and receivers, and that add that to takeaways in the red zone when SMU had momentum. One of the finest BYU defensive performances in years makes me think of 1984 at Hawaii.
Well then.
Just wow. Trevor Maddich joins us live now over Zoom. And Trevor, again, I know you don't give out those compliments lightly. That is quite the comparison. Why did you feel so strongly about BYU's defensive performance on Friday night?
Because of how inspiring it was. I mean, they were dominating at the line of scrimmage. The defensive line and linebackers were resetting the line of scrimmage behind the offensive line because of their attacking style. They trusted each other. They didn't do something and then look around and make sure they didn't have to make up for somebody else. They just went for it and trusted the guys next to them to go for it and do the right things as well, which they did. And in the key moments, they came up with massive plays. I mean, at one point, SMU drove down to the +6. BYU's defense stopped them on fourth down. Then SMU drives down to the +20. Interception. Then BYU has a turnover. SMU ends up with the ball on the 3-yard line. Because of that aggression, SMU is called for holding, put her back to the 13-yard line, and BYU takes it away from them there. That's 3 drives down inside the 15-yard line, came away with 0 points in a game that BYU won by 3. And I tell you, I don't think there was one play like Kyle Morrell's play at Hawaii where at the goal line he jumped up over the line and grabbed the quarterback by the nameplate on the back of his jersey and pulled him back. I don't think there was a play like that in this game, but overall, the way the BYU defense performed at Hawaii was like what BYU did against SMU. In other words, inspiring.
It was incredible. This is an SMU team that had won 9 in a row at home, putting up 52 a game at home during that streak. BYU does not give up a touchdown, 5 field goals, as you mentioned, in the red zone, only 6 points allowed. 3 takeaways overall, 2 by the defense, 1 by the special teams. It was fantastic. Do you feel like the defense showed us that it can be sustainable, that that can be the calling card for this BYU football team?
Absolutely. As long as they stay healthy, and they, I think, have better depth this year than they had last year. And they will need, will be attrition. Guys will get banged up. Guys will get hurt. And the replacements need to come in at a higher level than they were able to really do last year. Certainly the front line guys, the most impressive thing to me in terms of the production of each individual player was that the defensive line had production had disruption from not just Tyler Batty. They had disruption from multiple guys. Mangelson was magnificent in this game, others too, in addition to Tyler Batty. Because last year, offenses would zero in on Batty, they'd double team him, and nobody else really caused much trouble. This year, multiple guys are causing trouble, and that doesn't include the linebackers who were magnificent in this game. And so from a standpoint of the starting group, yes, absolutely, this is a defensive-led team, at least it is for now. And the success of this defense will be determined over the course of the entire season by the success of the depth. And I know that they have worked hard, BYU has, to develop the depth behind those starters. And I think it's going to be really interesting to watch, because if they play all year like they played against SMU, it's going to be hard to score on these guys.
ESPN College Football Insider and Analyst Trevor Maddich is with us on BYUSN for another Maddich Monday. As good as the defense was, the offense on the other side for BYU certainly had its struggles, and there was a major lull through the large part, middle part of the game, I should say, outside of some bookended critical touchdown drives in this game, Trevor. BYU's offense really ran into a wall against SMU, some of it self-inflicted. So how would you assess the overall offensive performance for BYU, and what the heck do they need to do to adjust to get better moving forward?
The first thing they need to do is get running backs healthy. When they were down to, you know, their top two running backs were out. Fortunately, Miles Davis is there to be able to rotate in as well, and some other guys that were able to pick up some of the slack. But still, when the defense doesn't fear your running game, at least not to bust off big plays, then it hurts your passing attack. So that's one thing. The second thing is, don't hurt yourself. I mean, you ever hammer nails and you hit yourself on the thumbnail with a hammer because you missed the actual nail? Have you ever done that? That's a serious question.
Yes, as a father, yes, and it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, no, I've done it, and I can still see my thumbnail turn black. BYU's offense did this multiple times that led to multiple takeaways. By the SMU defense, turnovers. But it wasn't really takeaway, it was turnover. It was, for example, quarterback Jake Retzlaff rolls out to the right. The defense is surrounding him, and he tries to make a play anyway. Now, at that point, you need to understand that the defense won. It's a close game. Your defense is playing well. The punter is your friend. Don't take a risk. And yet, he tried to make a play. In doing so, he lost ball security. Ball got stripped out, and it was a turnover. Those kinds of things didn't happen to BYU because of great play by the SMU defense. They happened because of a decision that should not have been made, which is to say, in this moment, I don't need to take a risk with ball security so that I can get through this bunch of people and potentially lose control. And when I say that, understand what I mean. A lot of times when a guy is holding the ball high and tight, he's in traffic, he's got two hands on it, great. You can't run your fastest or make your most dynamic moves in that posture, but that ball is secure. And if you want to make a dynamic move, that ball comes away just a little bit because you're focused now on the dynamic move. That's when it can get stripped. That's what happened to Jake. That was a decision, and those decisions need to be cleaner.
Regarding the quarterback situation, you talked about Jake Retzlaff's performance there. A lot of Cougar Nation was calling for a switch. You're going it to Wyoming where you hope to put up a bunch of points. What's your assessment of quarterback right now and what BYU should do moving forward?
I think the coaching staff was right to stay with Jake. The mistakes that he made were the kind of mistake that's easily correctable, because it's not something that he was trying to do that he can't. It's something that he can do. And it's easier to rein somebody in than to get them to go faster and better and stronger than they really can. And reining in those kind of moments is what Jake needed to do. Don't do a lot right now. Right now, what you need to do is protect the ball and we'll be okay. So that's easy to correct. Also, I liked what Coach Satake said about how things will happen. Bad things will happen. Mistakes will be made, and we have to give guys a chance to fight their way through it and come out the other side. Otherwise, when guys make mistakes, they're out. Well, it depends on the mistake in some ways, but it also is really good for Jake to have been able to fight his way out and engineer that last touchdown drive, or excuse me, field goal drive, game winner, and show that he is the quarterback that they know he is. Now, when I say is, it's not even can be, because we've seen in the last two games how he has been such a baller. He's been able to fit that ball into tight windows. He's been able to make plays on the move. He's been just a lightning rod in a positive way for this offense, but for some mistakes that should be easily correctable. So I think the coaches did the right thing by staying with him, and he paid off that confidence with that game-winning field goal drive.
Trevor Maddish is on BYU Sports Nation. Well, now Jake Retzlaff and BYU head to Laramie, Wyoming to take on an 0-2 Cowboys squad that looks, in a word, bad. They were embarrassed by Arizona State, lost at home to Idaho for the first time in 100 years, so the Vandals go on the road and win. What do you expect from BYU, and specifically the offense, when they end up in Laramie this weekend?
Clean. I want to see clean play. And from the defense as well. The defense did play cleanly almost the entire game, a couple of exceptions, but overall they were great. But when I say clean, as it applies to the offense, that means block the right guy, secure the football, make sound decisions, know when you have to take a risk and when you don't, and when you should, and limit penalties. This is the way BYU is going to win games, or to be in games when they get into Big 12 play. Because the Big 12 is a conference that has a lot of talent and a lot of depth in those teams. You mentioned Arizona State. A lot of people thought Arizona State was going to be just plain awful this year, but they've started out hot. I mean, they look really, really good. Arizona is really good. I mean, you look at teams in the Big 12 that BYU will have to defeat. The way that they'll defeat them is by first playing in a more disciplined fashion. Alignment, assignment, technique, ball security, penalties. These are the things that I want to see against Wyoming. So that Arizona State team that blew out Wyoming, probably a lot better than people thought. Idaho only lost to 10 points at Oregon.
Yeah.
So both of those teams are actually pretty good. I'm not sure that Wyoming is that bad yet. So if I'm BYU, I'm treating this like the Super Bowl, and I'm going in thinking this is going to be a fight to the finish and play that fight cleanly.
Well, that's a fun thought, because I don't agree, but that's okay. I think Wyoming stinks, Trevor, but I do want to ask you about any fun memories playing against the Cowboys or in Laramie.
Yeah, my freshman year, Mark Wilson's the quarterback. We go up to Laramie, and it's a blizzard. The game's on ABC. It was snowing so hard that I couldn't see the Wyoming team on the other sideline. As we were coming out of the locker room, everybody had their helmet on but me, and I'm thinking, well, why do you have your helmet on? We're just going out to the sideline. And one of the veterans said, put your helmet on. I said, why? He said, just put it on. And when I went out with them, things started pinging off my helmet because it was snowing so hard that the only people left in the stands were the ones that were lubricated to the degree that they didn't have shirts on anyway. And so that was my first. And I took that as passion from the fans. So I took that as a positive thing. But then Mark Wilson set a couple of NCAA records on ABC in that snow game. And that was my first memory of Laramie.
Wow, snowballs to the helmets.
And I literally was talking to someone this morning that said, oh, yeah, players from the early 2000s told me that some Wyoming fans would have urine and water balloons and chuck that at us as we came out of the locker room. So you never know what you're going to get in Laramie.
Thank goodness it was all frozen water balloons, so we were safe.
Trevor Maddish is on ESPN.
It happens.
All right, let's talk about the Football Power Index, which had BYU at 4.5 wins when the season began. Now that the Cougars have defeated Southern Illinois and won a game that the FPI was giving the Cougars a 21% chance of winning and beating SMU, that number has climbed to an average of 6.7 wins projected for BYU. So, Trevor, have your expectations shifted like the FPI after two games for BYU?
Yes, to a degree. I thought that this game against SMU, if BYU was able to pull that off, would be a quality win, because that SMU team is legit. I mean, their defense is one of the better defenses in the ACC. Their offense beefed up its offensive line. They brought in running backs from Miami. They had experience at quarterback. I mean, this was a legitimate team, SMU. And now BYU goes on the road there. And I knew to beat them, BYU would have to play cleanly. And BYU's offense didn't play cleanly. But BYU's defense forced even worse from the SMU offense. So it balanced out. But given the fact that they were able to go out there and not play their best game on one side of the ball and still pull out the victory, tells me that BYU does have a good chance, or a better chance than a lot of people thought, to get to six or more. And I thought that six was a good benchmark for BYU this year. Six would be a really good season in their second year in the Big 12. Now it looks a lot more likely that they could get there or even surpass it.
Let's talk about Cougars in the NFL as we wrap up. Certainly Ryan Rico made some headlines with the longest punt in Bengals history of 80 yards, 65.4 yards per punt in minimum four as an NFL single game record. It was his first game in the NFL. Yet you have Kingsley Suamatia starting for the Chiefs. You got Fred Warner tonight on Monday Night Football. What has impressed you so far about the Cougars in the NFL in week one?
The way they represent BYU. I mean, they play the game right. They respect the game of football. And you're either really a talented player or you're a less talented player. You can't really control that. What you can control is how hard you work. And your teammates will see you for your humanity, your work ethic, and your quality as a teammate for them, even more than whether or not you're super talented, because there's talented guys all over the league. You need the rest of those guys. And BYU has those kinds of guys, the ones that are quality guys and guys that are top talents as well. And they represent football. They represent BYU. I just want to know if Rico's record that he broke at Cincinnati in punting was Lee Johnson's record. I would like to know that, because Lee Johnson could kick the ball completely out of the stadium.
Well, to your point, Lee had a 76-yard punt for the Bengals. So we will get the crack research team on that here at BYUSN and confirm that. Trevor, we wish you well. We appreciate the time, as always. And you don't have to wear your helmet this weekend when BYU plays Wyoming. But if you do want to slip it on, no, we would not fault you at all.
I appreciate that. Better safe than sorry, especially considering what you just told me that was so disturbing.
I want to see it on SportsCenter.
Thanks, Trevor. Oh, the great
man on Sports Center. He puts on a helmet. He's like, I got a story to tell.
I got to put my helmet on for this BYU Wyoming game.
We might have to wear these helmets. Jeez, you never know. A barrel dude is walking into Studio B. Check out After Further Review as they talk about the big win at SMU, the game at Wyoming. I'm sure Blaine Fowler has some fun stories at Wyoming as well. 7 Eastern, Tuesday, tomorrow on the BYU TV app and BYUSN.com.
After the break. We just talked about it with Trevor Maddich. Big weekend in the NFL for several different BYU players. We'll recap the highlights next. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B on a winning Monday alongside Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. Let's have some fun with Cougar football history, shall we? As we honor the 100th season of BYU football, we're looking back on some of the best wins, plays, and moments as BYU football, and they put together a lot of them. So let's go to specifically on this date. Jerem, what happened on this date in BYU football history?
I thought you'd never ask, but September 9th, 2006, BYU welcomed Tulsa to Lavelle Edwards Stadium. John Beck got the scoring started with a touchdown to Fui Vakapuna. In standard definition, Fui fresh off a mission, apparently he lifted for 4 hours a day on that. First of four TD passes for John Beck. BYU also ran for 220, three touchdowns for, again, Fui Vakapuna, who's still around. I love Fui. He's the best.
Oh, man.
This is the play of the game, maybe the not the season.
Curtis Brown. Yes.
Tackle him. Tackle him. I dare you. Tackle him.
227 yards of total offense, including this amazing 62-yard touchdown catch and run. There was a weird rainstorm in the middle of this game.
Delayed. Fans ran onto the field. We're sliding around. Harvey Unga comes in and plays in this game. By the way, so this is back in the day. I had to take the first half tape. I think it was it Beta at the time?
The
I ran it to the Harris Fine Arts Center. All right, well, in my car, give it, so they could get it ready for the replay. I come back, I hear the stadium roar. It's that Curtis Brown play.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't in the stadium. Oh. I was getting back from the, I was, you know, a runner.
That was amazing. At that point. There was, Fui Vakapuna had a big long run where he broke like eight tackles. Didn't score a touchdown on it, yeah. But he also had an amazing run, yeah, in that game.
What a game.
Cougars won 49-24. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU football beats SMU 18-15 on the road. Stellar defense. Weber State transfer Mark Collins had a pick. Had this to say about the defensive mentality on the last stand and the game as a whole.
We just knew we had to make a play, and that was every time before we went on the field, that was our mentality. We got to make a play. You know, our offense started off slow. We actually started off hot, but, you know, it was kind of stagnant throughout the rest of the game. We knew we had to make a play, whether that was interceptions, fumble recoveries, which we had a lot, you know, we had both of those. So, yeah, we just had to pick each other up, and I think we did a great job of that tonight.
Cougar stats, by the way, we asked and they delivered. First time since 1980 at Wisconsin that BYU did not give up a touchdown on the road against a Power 4 or 5 team. Great stuff by Cougar stats.
It's been 44 years.
Wild, right? 261 yards, fewest given up by a BYU defense, by the way, against a P4 team since 2016 versus Michigan State.
Mark Collins, by the way, told me that his position coach, graduate assistant, had a dream that he picked off a pass on that very specific play in that defense. Before the game, he had a dream about it, and then he made it happen against SMU.
Wow, Joseph of Egypt in the house.
On the Cougars in the NFL, Jamal Williams, 11 carries, 38 yards, and a touchdown, and a catch for 13 yards. Taysom Hill added 5 carries for 35 yards, and an overwhelming Saints win, 47-10 against the Panthers. Ryan Rico talked about him, 4 punts for an average of 64.5 yards per punt with a long of 80. The 80-yard punt was a Bengals record. The 64.5 average is an NFL record.
Wow.
Puka Nacua caught 4 passes for 35 yards, had 1 carry for 7 yards, but had to leave in the second quarter of last night's loss to the Lions with a knee injury. Mm. He did not return.
Tyler Allgeier, 3 carries, 21 yards, and an 18-10 loss to the Steelers. Kyrus Tonga had a tackle for the Cardinals in a loss to the Bills. Zane Anderson had a tackle for the Packers in the loss to the Eagles in Brazil on Friday. And Fred Warner and the Niners play the New York Jets tonight on Monday Night Football.
14th-ranked BYU women's volleyball falls in a hard-fought 5-set match against number 19 Georgia Tech. Cougars lost that 5th set 15-13. Jeremy, this is a young team. They're disappointed, but I'm encouraged.
Yeah, that's what I was telling players and coaches after. Hey, I'm bummed but encouraged. I thought this team fought well. They start 4 freshmen, Spence. 4 freshmen. Number 6 women's cross country opened the season with the win at the College of Southern Idaho's Dr. Thad Scholl's Cross Country Classic Friday morning with 4, that's the longest name ever. With Friday morning, 4 runners finished in the top 10. Lexi Goff took 2nd overall. Congrats.
Oh, how about that? BYU.
Can we get that car out of the way for the
picture? They're good again. They're good again.
Shocking.
BYU women's soccer lost on the road against number 6 Arkansas 4-2 to wrap up non-conference play. All right, after the break, nice week for the Big 12 Conference with an even better week when you look at our specific pick 'em picks. We'll recap all that next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Did we take down Kevin yet?
Sports Nation, we are live in Studio B, and now we look back on what happened around the Big 12 in Week 2, specifically with our Big 12 Pick'em picks.
No one takes down Kevin Young, but we're going to try.
Okay. All right. Now, we should note that you won Week 1. You were 5-1. I went 4-2. Jonathan Tavernari was 3-3.
Yeah.
Kevin Young trying to be better than Jonathan Tavernari is 3-3.
Yeah, exactly. A couple Week 2 notables, by the way, around the Big 12. Big 12 went 10-6. 5 wins over P4 teams. BYU one of them. Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Arizona State, Utah over Baylor, which is funny. It's a
non-conference game.
Again, Kansas State, Arizona, non-conference this Week 2. 5 Big 12 teams ranked in the AP poll. Iowa State jumps into the poll. Kansas drops out. BYU received 2 votes, as we mentioned, which means 2 at 24 or 1 at 25. Okay, Big 12 pick 'em.
BYU is 41st, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, 41st. Exactly. They're number 1 in here. Okay, first recap. Number 16, Oklahoma State beats Arkansas 39-31 in double OT. This was a wild game. Arkansas outgained Oklahoma State 648-385.
I'm sorry, what?
Ollie Gordon didn't do jack squat until the very end in OT and double OT. 2.9
yards
per carry.
Arkansas had 648 yards and lost?
Yeah. Ollie Gordon didn't do anything until overtime when he had the touchdown catch and 2-point conversion in double OT. They win.
All right.
Number 17, Kansas State survives at Tulane, 34-17. Trailed by 10.5, 60-yard scoop and score was the difference by Jack Fabris. That was the game winner. Illinois upsets number 19, Kansas, 23-17 at home for Illinois. Jalen Daniels, three picks, pick six right before halftime. If only he could have done that last year against BYU.
On we go. Number 11, Utah beats Baylor 23-12. Again, non-conference game because it was scheduled before Utah made the transition into the Big 12. Utah jumped out quick in this game. Then quarterback Cam Rising had to leave the game in the second quarter with an injury to his throwing hand. Undisclosed on how long he's going to have to sit out. I don't think it's going to be that long. But
reminder, 2 months to the game today.
Crazy. Crazy. It's that close.
The BYU-Utah.
Utah didn't score after that. So, take it for what you will. Iowa State 20, number 21, Iowa 19.
Oh,
the Cyclones
baby.
Trailed 13-0 at halftime, but then dominated in the second half, outscoring their rivals 20-6. True freshman kicker Kyle Conrardi drilled a 54-yard field goal with 6 seconds left to give Iowa State a dramatic win.
Wild one.
And Nebraska, they renew the rivalry with Colorado and do so in dominant fashion, 28-10. The Cornhuskers led 28-0 in that game. Never looked back. Yeah, really boring once they got out to that quick lead. And then, of course, BYU 18, SMU 15.
Oh, sweet. BYU won?
Cougar football holding the Mustangs to no touchdowns. First road victory
nice.
Where BYU held an opponent without a touchdown since they did it to Wisconsin in 1980.
I don't think I have the intestinal fortitude to not watch the BYU game and not know until I come in here for a show one time. That'd be the craziest thing ever. It's my job to know, but that'd be funny. It'd be like, dude, I don't know what happened. Tell me.
What happened in the BYU game? What happened?
Oh, my gosh, what happened?
So, counting up the numbers in our Big 12 pick 'em this week, Jerem and I tie.
Hey.
6-1 marks.
Yeah, nice.
We
were
great. What game did you lose on? It was Kansas-Illinois.
Kansas-Illinois.
So I picked that one, and I picked Iowa over Iowa State.
I got
State.
Lucky with Iowa State. That was an incredible
comeback. I almost had a perfect week.
Kevin Young, 4-3. So he beats JT. Goes over
just like points. I said he would on the show.
Of course
he did. I said he would.
Sorry, JT. Kevin Young for the win.
He did have one more game to pick, but.
True. It's win percentage.
He took advantage of it.
Yeah. It's Ken Pomeroy adjusted the index like in COVID. They're like, what's the number? BYU football with Kalani Sitake is tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app. You can sign up and be in the crowd if you're local and want to come hang out. You can watch in the BYU TV app. It's awesome. Tomorrow night, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
After the break, a Rises shout out to a new centenarian. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Nice, dude.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation's on demand. Download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or listen to the pod. Subscribe, rate, and review.
If you missed it earlier, kick time announced for Kansas State at BYU on Saturday night, September 21st, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, East Coasters. 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time kick.
I like it. The Night Cougs, the Cougs Sun at Night, the Nostrus Nocturnus thing. BYU, obviously, last year at the end of the year struggled at home at night. But hopefully this team kind of recaptures that energy. Also, Big 12 opener last year was one of the two wins at home, was one of the two wins for BYU in league. I think BYU shows up against Kansas State.
Kansas State's a little bit better than Cincinnati was last year.
Just a tiny bit. Kansas State's pretty good.
Yes, they are.
I think it's a winnable game at home, though. Kansas State up to 14. BYU 41st. Spence?
41st in the top 25.
Switch those integers.
They got two points. Did they get two votes or one vote at number 24?
Well, I don't know. I haven't looked it up yet.
We'll see.
I don't have the internet.
All right, our question of the day. What was the most impressive part of BYU's Friday night win at SMU? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from at @LR_Chiss, who says, this game had the lowest FPI win percentage.
It was actually UCF.
Next to UCF,
second
lowest. Yeah. I'm less concerned about the way BYU won, only that they did win. If they have the same struggles this week, then I will be concerned, meaning if the offense doesn't score a lot of points and struggles, defense is good, then the concerns really get magnified.
If BYU struggles on offense this week, we got massive problems, okay? Massive, because Wyoming has not played well in the first two. This is a game where I hope BYU puts up similar numbers to Southern Illinois and has similar margin and yards and so on and so forth.
I just want BYU to try and stretch the field a little bit more. Only one deep shot was taken all game, and it happened in the fourth quarter.
Are you talking like 20-plus yards down the
yes.
field kind of thing? Yeah. Sometimes you take the underneath stuff and you go, but it wasn't like BYU's having success doing that.
Just try and take the top off the defense a little bit more. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Got
to
beat one. By the way, 10-point favorite at win.
It's go. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Russell M. Nelson, president, prophet of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Happy 100th birthday. Tune in to BYU TV at 6 Eastern tonight for a special birthday celebration. That's amazing.
Amazing. He's a centenarian.
Yes.
Yes.
We looked up all the variations of that.
Our thanks to today's guest, Trevor Maddich.
Sorry, Dennis.
For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to S. Skipper Nielsen. See you on Coordinator's Corner at 2 Eastern. Go Cougs.